All right, today I'm going to talk to you about Jesus, our Passover lamb. Right now, we're living in real significant times. On Wednesday at 6 p.m., or it was midnight during our time in Israel, was the first day of Nisan. And that month is the month in which Passover is celebrated. Well, what's interesting about this is that in Exodus chapter 12, God intervened and did something there. And I'm going to read a portion of scripture here. I'm going to open up Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 10. And this is really significant for us right now in this hour, in this time. There are many prophetic insights that I believe that we can find in Exodus chapter 11 and 12 in correlation to what we're going through. So it says in verse 1, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, on the lintel of the houses where they eat it.'" Verse 8, "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover." And so what's the significance there here? And I'm going to bring you back to verse 2 and verse 3. And this is what God said to Moses and Aaron. "This month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you." So what happened is this time, it was in the middle, right in the middle of the year. It was the seventh month. And God intercepted and said, "I'm going to make this month your month of beginning. This is going to be your first month. And this is the month of Nisan where Passover is being celebrated." So what I want to share with you, I want to share with you 4 points. Okay, and this is what's so significant about it, is the first one that we see. And even during this time where this whole coronavirus and all the fear that's going all around the nations of the earth, well, what can we do to be strong in the Lord? Because I pray that this will be more than just a message, but this will really encourage us and strengthen us in the Word of God so that we can stand strong and be a true witness for Christ in this hour. But the first thing that I want to share with you is there's divine intervention. Here in this verse, you see God's divine intervention. What is that? It is a new beginning. You see, it was the seventh month, that God says, no, it's your first month now. In the spirit, what God is doing is reminding us, as we've been declaring for the last 6 months or so, we've been declaring that there's been prophetic word, many prophetic words confirming that we are in a new decade and a new era. And right now in this time, God is reminding us that this is the new era that God is taking us through. God is going to do something supernatural. God's going to do something great, and we're going to look for it with expectancy. But here, this is the month of new beginning, and so what we need to do is we need to be aligned with God's prophetic timeline. It's so easy right now. I mean, God, in all of this, is causing us to pause for a moment, just to hold on for a second and reconsider our own lives, because we have so many things on our calendar. We've been so accustomed to be busy with our job or our own personal life, and just the way we run our lives. We're so busy and have our own schedule that God had to intercede and say, "Hang on here, stop your own calendar. I'm going to give you my calendar. Be in line with what I'm doing instead of, you know, our own plans and our own everything else that we do." And so God is reshifting our focus right now, shifting our focus to be in line with Him. And so here, we need God's intervention. In this time, God is intervening in our lives right now. And this is exactly what He's doing, all right? And we remember this in Genesis. The same thing happened with Abraham. Well, what happened with Abraham? Well, with Abraham, there were four nations fighting five nations and so on and so forth. I'll cut a long story short. And Lot was taken. Lot is being his nephew. And so Abraham goes ahead and saves his nephew and recovers all the things. And then after that, we're told in Genesis that the king of Sodom came to Abraham. And so what does it say in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 to 24? It says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out wine and bread and wine." Okay, take note of that. "He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he gave him a tithe of all men who were with him, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, and let them take their portion. Now the king of Sodom," look at this verse, "said to Abraham, 'Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself.' But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, 'I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich, except only what the young man have eaten and the portion," and so on. Okay, I'll just stop there here. Okay, and so what do we see here? We see that here the king of Sodom wants to negotiate with Abraham. But here what happens? Right there we have God's intervention, and God appeared to Abraham right there and then. All right, as King Melchizedek. King Melchizedek here is a manifestation of Jesus Christ, pre-cross manifestation of Christ. In a theological term, it's called a Christophany. But here Jesus appears. Jesus, the living, everlasting Word, appears to Abraham. And this is what we need right now. What did he do? He broke bread and gave wine. What do you and I think about when we see bread and wine? That brings us back to the Holy Communion. And the Holy Communion brings us back to what we've been talking about from the very beginning of this video, is that it's about the Passover lamb. And so here, we're going to talk about how significant that is. And so right now, God is just reshaking everything that can be shaken so that he can reset us, realign us, refire, release his resurrection life inside of us so that the nations of the earth can experience God's revival all around. Amen? Number two, I want to share with you, the next one here, is in this time, now remember that we're in a month, this Hebrew month called Nisan, where Passover is celebrated, and Passover actually takes place on the, if I'm not mistaken, it's on the 8th of April, that's where it begins, okay, this is the first day, 6 p.m., okay, so take note of that. And so what does that mean? We are in this season and time right now, so that's what I want you to think about when we are going through this. So number two, we are told in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, okay, how they were to eat the lamb and with what and how so. Okay, and it says in verse 11, if you're following with me in your Bible, "And in this you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Well, the first thing that I want to bring the attention is that they were to not only eat the lamb, well, they were to roast it. Okay, so if you feel like roast lamb right now, very good season for it. But more than just that, they were to eat it with unleavened bread. And this is what, this is the significance. And of course, I encourage you to read Exodus 11 and 12 because it's all related. It's all together, right? If you really want to get the big picture here. But as part of the Feast of Passover, after the lamb had been killed, what they're supposed to do, they're supposed to eat unleavened bread for 7 days straight, okay? And it tells us a bit more to that, okay? And what it says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters." That means no leaven all together. That's it. Don't eat unleavened bread. Let there be no leaven in your household, anything around you. And what is that? Why is that so significant? Because we realize that in the Bible, leaven talks about a few things. So I'm going to read a few verses here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. It says, Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So you see here the reference of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mark chapter 8 verse 15, he tells us. Then he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. How about Luke chapter 12 verse 1? In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. All right, say with me, hypocrisy. All right. Okay, so what is that saying to us? No leaven, no hypocrisy. See, there's the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of that had a form of godliness. They had religion. They had all of these things set up in their lives. They had a routine. They had a set things that they were used to. And God is saying, get rid of all kinds of leaven. Get rid of all kinds of contamination right now, because that's what God wants from us. He says, be holy as I am holy. So at this time, what is God saying? I believe he's saying to us, realign our lives, get rid of all the leaven that's stopping us from moving forward in this time. And this is the perfect picture of Jesus, because Jesus, this represents his death and his burial, especially because he is the bread that came from heaven, unleavened bread. That means no sin. He was completely pure, found with no sin, and his body saw no corruption. And so right now, God is sanctifying his church. He's sanctifying you and sanctifying me. So right now, let's examine our own lives. What kind of leaven? All right, and God is really stopping everything right now, how we are meeting for church, everything, whether it's church or our work or anything, it's really cutting our routine into a different way. It's really shifting our paradigm. What kind of leaven may I possibly have? What kind of doctrines or teachings or thought patterns that may not be aligned with God's thoughts and bringing contamination in my heart, maybe some unforgiveness and all kinds of things that are inside my heart. God wants to clean us up. Amen? All right. But here is another thing, how they ate it. This is how they were supposed to eat it. They're supposed to eat it with a belt on their waist, sandals on their feet, and a staff in their hands. All right? And they were supposed to eat it in haste. And what is that speaking to us? Not telling us to take Holy Communion in haste, but however, what is actually telling us is a position, is a state of readiness. Because if you read some of the other verses after that, it tells us how even the Egyptians wanted them to go in haste because the fear of God was just so strong in Egypt. It says, go, go, go. So they had to be ready to go. So what is that saying to us? We got to stop. They had no time to play in Egypt. They didn't say, let me take a selfie here and send it, put it on Facebook, anything like that, right? When it's time to go with God, it says, let's go. Let's move on. This is time. So let's not play. I think God is really challenging all of us. Let's not play church. Let's not just play Christianity. It's time to move on with God and be ready. How so? Waist, that's the truth. The shoes, your feet, that's what? The shoes of the gospel. We're going to be ready to go. There's a great harvest awaiting us. And the staff, or if you can think of that in Ephesians sense, is speaking of the sword of the Spirit, the Spirit of God. Amen. The word in Jesus' name. Can you see that with me? All right. So we got to position ourselves well. We got to be ready to go. All right. But you see, as we are ready to go, now, wow, the experienced Passover, and they're really excited, and they're saying, the Egyptians have the fear of God and all the plagues. They experience all of that, and they're on the go. They're moving and they're running. Okay, and at some point, however, they hit the Red Sea. All right? Okay? And what happens? There's panic again, right? Because now Pharaoh is coming back to them again and says, I'm coming after you again. So there's fear and panic crippling again. Now, I know there are prophetic words, many trusted prophets who are saying that by Passover, all right, this thing is going to be lifted. And I believe really with my heart that something is going to happen at Passover, all right? Okay, and something is going to break in the spirit, okay? We're going to see something come out of all of that's happening. I believe it. That's true. But let us be sure that when we go on, that now we talk about Passover, when we hit the Red Sea, we can come into a place of, oh, fear again. But the thing is that God is trying to call us to continue to walk our walk in faith. Okay, so it's not just I was delivered at Passover and then we are stuck at the Red Sea, because God actually wants us to go through the Red Sea. He wants to open the Red Sea and close the Red Sea so that there's no turning back. So God is really calling us to cross over to the other side. So there's no place, no way of return. We're not going back to the old life, which unfortunately some of them were complaining and wanted to go back. But God wants us to go to our promised land. There are so many things ahead of us, great things. So if we can shift our perspective, there's a great message 2 weeks ago that was shared by our brother Dino about our perspective and our positioning in the Lord. If we can really grasp that message, is that we don't actually get ready to position ourselves when the crisis happens, but it's way before. And you see that in the life of Jehoshaphat. And so right now, this is what God is calling us to do. We've got to be ready to go, and we've got to continue this in faith. I'm going to read a verse here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. I think I've got the wrong reference here, but it says, by faith, even they crossed the Red Sea. What is that? What is that telling us? That along the way, you know, after this whole thing, let's say Passover comes and something breaks out and the coronavirus, you know, lifts up, but something else will come along the way. Where is our faith then? That's what God is challenging us with right now. Okay, so we're going to continue this. We're going to be ready to go. Amen? All right. Number three, very important here. Okay, number three is that in this season where we're talking about Passover, this is the season. Again, this is less than 2 weeks away as far as the Hebrew calendar is concerned. Okay, so you've got some notes which you can refer to, which will be helpful. But here, number three, what I want to share with you today is there is protection through the blood of Jesus. And that is that's our comfort. That's our security. Okay, that the fact that the blood of Jesus. So what did they have to do? Obviously, we kind of know the story. So they had to kill the lamb, get the blood, apply it on the lintel and the doorpost, the two doorposts and the lintel. And they had to make sure that they were in the house so that when the spirit of death came by, it would pass over them, provided they had the blood. And so we as believers do not need to fear this virus, because I believe that prophetically what's going to happen to us is this thing is going to pass right over us. Fear and anxiety and panic and everything else has to go in Jesus' name. And we as God's people should be most strong and confident that He has our back. Well, we have to do the right thing. I'm not asking us to be foolish and, you know, and cough and try to do something silly. But what I'm saying is we do the right thing, but at the end of the day, what else can we do? We do all the right thing, but we are not in control of anything. We can't even control how we breathe or how we blink or when we sneeze. It's like, oh, I want to stop right in the middle. We can't do that. That's to show us and to remind us that God is in total control of our lives right from the very beginning. It was always so, okay? So what can we do? Blood of Jesus. That's so important right now. So this is what we can do. Some practical things we can do is praise the blood. Praise, thank, and confess the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. Okay, the name of Jesus is so powerful, and there's so many stuff that we could say about that. But for today's sake, we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus. Giving thanks and praise, give Him glory. What does Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 23 tell us? Well, let me read. In verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is in His flesh. And verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, and this is an important verse here, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, without wavering, for He who promised, He is, everybody say with me, He is faithful. Everybody say one more time, faithful. He is faithful. Okay, but here, what gives us boldness and confidence is not that I'm skillful and I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm invincible. It's the fact that the blood of Jesus gives us confidence. We can come before His throne, all right, with confidence, okay? And what are we to do in verse 23? Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So now is the time to do that. Now is the time to declare His blood, His praise, His name and His promises, because everything that He has said and who He is, His character, His nature will never fail, because our God is true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, Jesus Himself is the door. Okay, so by which we enter in. So right now, we got to stay in Christ. Okay, we really encourage everyone, not only just to praise and declare and do all these things and a bunch of other things, which I will talk about as well, really in a moment, but also the Holy Communion, the power in the Holy Communion. I thank God that God has been preparing us for more than, you know, just recently, you know, months ahead before all of this happened, really teaching us and encouraging us to take Holy Communion as often, even on a personal level. And I've been doing that daily for my own, for my own self-edification in the Lord. And so how powerful, because in this moment, we are remembering, thanking, embracing all that Jesus did in his broken body and his blood for us. There's so much power in this, amen? And there's power in the blood, so there's going to be miracles, signs, and wonders. Let's believe God for all of this. Okay, there's protection. So where is our protection? Our protection, because he's the door, it's his blood, and he's our high priest over our household. Now, which household? It's not just here in this house, okay, even though we got to apply the blood on our own lives, but hey, what is that? He is the door. This is his house. We find shelter in him. So it is in Jesus Christ that we're going to find this protection, not in anybody, not in any one else, but Jesus alone, okay? And the thing is, it is Christ and his church. So what's the safest place? I know we always say it's in the will of God, okay? But it is in Christ and to be protected in a local church, to be part of his church as well. Another thing that I want to talk about is there's protection in his blood. What does John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, it says, "This is the message which we have preached from him and declare to you that God's light is in him, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Now, everybody read this with me. Verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins." Now, I thank God that his blood is powerful. And in 1 John 1, 9, it tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to cleanse us and to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And I believe in that, and we preach that, and we know that. I know that. You know that. But the thing is, I want to add on to that, okay? We can talk about the blood, but the other significant aspect of this verse is that if we walk in the light as he in the light. So God is shining his word right now. We got to choose. We can't just say, "Praise the blood of Jesus and I'm covered by the blood," if we willfully choose to walk in darkness when we know it's truth. So we got to walk in light, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen. So we got to couple that with together with that aspect and really ask God right now, what are those things that I need to clear in my life? Okay, there's power in the blood. Why is that? Psalms 105, verse 36 to 37, it says, He who also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. This is referring to Egypt. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. None feeble. Can you believe that? They who came out of Egypt experienced Passover, none were feeble. We declare that, and we believe that right now, that we don't have to be feeble. We can walk in health. We can walk in strength in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by his blood and broken body. I want to talk to you the final last thing here, okay? And this is the midnight hour. What does that mean? Okay, well, the Passover, when the spirit of death came for the firstborn, it happened when? It happened at the midnight hour. At the midnight hour. Well, what does that mean? What is the significance? Well, I think it would take too long. It's probably a message in itself to talk about the midnight, but I'm going to go straight to the point and the contrast that it brings and the message that it brings. So what I want to say this is we are right now living in the midnight hour before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in the last of the last days, and there are many things that we're seeing and the many signs that are happening. But here's the thing. At midnight, okay, I'm going to give you some references, not all of them, just some of them, just to get an idea of what I'm talking about, is there was a great cry. In Exodus chapter 11 and 12, it talks about how the firstborn were killed. What happened? Okay, it tells us in chapter 11, verse 5 to 7, there was a great cry over death because the firstborn were killed in Egypt. There was a cry over death. Another mention is, we are told in Judges chapter 16, verse 3, that Samson possessed the gates of the enemy. Okay, gates of the enemy. Another mention is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, remember the 10 virgins, it says here, there was a cry that was made. And what was that cry? "Behold, the bridegroom comes. And when the bridegroom came, five had enough oil, five didn't have enough oil." There was a cry for what? Cry for oil. Okay, there's another one here, another reference. Paul and Silas, what happens? In Acts, it says Paul prayed and worshiped. And what happened when they did that? Right? They had the prison doors opened. Okay, hallelujah. What else? One more. Paul also, he preached to the disciples until midnight. How many of you want to go until midnight right now? Not many of us. But here, this is what the contrast I want to bring here. There were two sides to it, and our minimal mentions is the first side is there was a cry for oil. There was a cry for trouble. There was a cry for death over death and all these kind of things. Yet on the other side, there are verses where they prayed, they preached, they all of that. Some were ready when the bridegroom came. In fact, it tells us in Psalms as well that you know the saints, the believers would wake up and praise the name of God for his righteous judgment. What at what time? At midnight. So what is this telling us? Right? As the spirit of death comes over at midnight, this is what we can experience. We can experience God's protection. What are we going to do? We're going to praise. We're going to worship. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to keep doing what is right. Because for God's saints, a midnight hour is not trouble. It is God's hand, God's supernatural provision, God's will and his return. And there's going to be a company of people like the five wise virgin who are going to be there. But again, there's much more to say. Cry for all. There are people, three loaves of bread were requested from a friend's, if you know what I'm talking about, in Luke 11. That was also at the midnight hour. So very significant. There's a cry for the word. There's a cry for oil. So on and so forth. I could go on with that. Okay? My point is this. In this midnight hour before Jesus returns, how do we respond? Okay? Do we fear? Or do we have confidence in enough grounds from Scripture that a midnight hour, though it looks gloom and doom, but it's not for the church? All right? Amen. So I want to encourage you with this. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is how I want to end. It tells us, this is what they did. The early church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread, which is Holy Communion, and in, number four, prayers. How significant is that? What is God doing right now? And this is coming really, again, from not only here from the leadership team, but from our senior ministers who are in Malaysia right now, really encouraging us to daily now. We have to shift everything that we're used to, right? Let's get connected. Let's get plugged in with God on a daily basis. In what? In the apostles' doctrine, in the word of God, in fellowship. How significant fellowship, all right? We appreciate to be able to have fellowship with one another. And in the breaking of bread, we talked about Holy Communion. And in prayer, let's pray. Now is the time for the church to pray. We are living in significant time. This Passover, this season of time is not a time to fear, but it is just telling us and showing us that God is just about to do something really powerful and great. And this is our destiny. So praise the blood of Jesus. Let's continue strong, steadfastly in this time. And God is just about to move powerfully, supernaturally in this Passover, even as we look at it prophetically. So in the name of Jesus right now, I declare over fear and anxiety right now, your power is broken. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus who washes us, who covers us, who cleanses us, who protects us, whose blood speaks for us, in whose blood there is life and life and abundant life. We thank you, Lord. We take refuge and confidence in your precious blood. We bless you, Lord. We praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.